Blog Talk Radio.
Citizens Against Terrorism does not support or oppose any political candidate or party. The commentators, guests, and callers' comments are their personal views and not necessarily the views of Citizens Against Terrorism. Welcome to American Patriots Have Responded. I'm your host, Bill Moss. We've got a show tonight that we've been on this day four now, special investigations. I do want to take some time. We're going to get into a little bit of what's going on in this country. But I do want to take time at first to acknowledge that our President of the United States and the First Lady have tested positive for COVID. At this time, the President has been taken to Walter Reed Hospital, where he'll stay for approximately 4 days. They're using experimental drug to combat the virus. And I guess that's of his liking. That's what he wanted to do, and that's why we have a choice in medicine and we have a right to try. The President is in good spirits. He is feeling a little peaked, a little weak. Other than that, he's doing pretty good. The First Lady's had a little nausea, I think, and headaches. But other than that, she's doing pretty good. What I want to get into, though, today on Twitter, there have been a flood of people wishing the President of the United States would die. Now, I don't care if he's of your political persuasion. I don't care if he's your political party. I don't care if you actually like him or not. That's your decision. But when we go wishing for somebody else to die, that is a sick individual doing the wish. Shame on you. Shame on you and shame on you again. How dare you? This is ridiculous. Come on, people. Grow up. You wonder why your world's gone to hell in a handbasket? It's because you're putting it there with your self-centered ideologies. Shame on you. Now, with that said, I want to move on. I want to talk to you tonight about a liberal news outlet. We've talked about Fox News and some of the others. Well, tonight we're gonna talk about another one. This one is not Fox. It's Vox. V-O-X. Victor Oscar X-Ray. Vox Online. This is the news of the Liberal Party. The leftist liberals' Bible of news. And I just want to go over this with you a little bit. There's an article in here. And there's some comments in here I want to talk about. It says how to avert a post-election nightmare. Now, you can look this up on Vox's homepage on voxnews.com. How to avert a post-election nightmare. A war game that tried to simulate the 2020 transition ended in violence. One of his organizers explains how to prevent that. Now, why would you take and have a war game if you're going to predict what's going to happen after an election? The only reason I can think of that is because you're planning on a war. Now, we've been told that we're going to be in a civil war after the first of the year. That's their words, not mine. I tell you, it's a terrorist incursion, that we are being attacked by terrorists, both domestic and foreign, and that we should call it that. Because if we call it a civil war, they get pardons when it's over. If we call it a terrorist insurrection, which it is, then we can turn around and we can say no pardon for terrorists, because there is no pardon for terrorists in this country. The first scenario that I have is a narrow Biden victory scenario. It says, imagine that after a narrow Joe Biden victory in November's election, Donald Trump refuses to concede defeat. Again, we're flaming this thing. You know, oh, he's not gonna concede if he loses. No, he's not going to concede. You know, this is all part of the rhetoric that's going out. This is a newspaper that is used to whip up the leftist liberal agenda, the people that follow them, the left-wing conspiracy theories, left-wing conspiracy lug nuts, I call them, citing, among other things, alleged voter fraud and mail ballots. Well, you know what? They've done been finding that, haven't they? They found 1,000 ballots, military ballots, that had been discarded. And they were opened up, and they all had Trump's name on them. Of course, that's no surprise, because when you get your mail-in ballots, if you look at the numbers on it, there's either a D or an R in that sequence of numbers. That automatically tells whoever handles that envelope that you're a Democrat or a Republican. Okay, so there's no way to keep your vote secret if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican. Whoever handles your mail knows this. This is all part of encoding. This is all part of technological ways of hampering us as United States citizens. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit, too. Imagine that this goes on for months, right up until Inauguration Day in January. Imagine huge protests in the streets on both sides. Imagine unrest that the police are unable or unwilling to contain. Imagine that some armed pro-Trump supporters, furious with what they see as a coup, attempt to take matters into their own hands. It's always the armed Trump supporters that they're always hollering about. Let me ask you something. How many armed Trump supporters have you seen out in the street that's out there shooting people? How many armed Trump supporters have you seen in the street that's out there burning? How many armed Trump supporters have you seen in the street that's been out there looting? How many have been attacking people and killing them in the street, has been brutalizing them? How many of them has been walking down the street and knocked an old woman down and cracked her head on a fire plug? None. None. But yet we get this agenda going. We get this picture painted of everybody that likes Trump or everybody that's white. They're all racist. They're all radicals. But yet it is the liberal left, the peaceful protesters, that are destroying our country, folks. It's the peaceful protesters. There's nothing going on. If you don't believe me, just watch CNN and them. They'll tell you this was a peaceful protest until the police come and arrested everybody. Well, they don't arrest everybody just because they're on the street. They arrest them because they're thieving, they're lugging, they're looting, they're burning, they're attacking people, they're destroying things. They're not the peaceful ones, folks. They're not the peaceful ones, okay? They simulated four scenarios: a big Biden victory, a narrow Biden victory win, an intermediate result, the 2000 election, and a narrow Trump victory. In every scenario but a massive Biden blowout, things went south in their scenario. Now, doesn't that amaze you? If they don't get their way, everything's going to go south. Now, I don't care if you vote for Biden. I don't care if you vote for Trump. But I'm telling you what this paper's saying. This isn't me. This is this paper. We anticipate lawsuits and divergent media narratives, attempts to stop the counting of ballots, and protests drawing from both sides. Tip writes in a post-exercise report summarizing their feelings. The potential for violent conflict is high, particularly since Trump encourages his supporters to take up arms. Folks, we've been in the streets. We've been in the streets. We've stared down more guns than half the United States Army has to sometimes when they go into these villages and stuff that's thick with terrorists. Our streets are loaded with Antifa and radical Black Lives members that are toting guns, that are killing cops, that are willing to shoot anybody that opposes them. Now, you want to talk about violent, you want to talk about evil people? You go down to Little Kentucky, you walk down between 5th and 6th Street if you're white, and you tell me them's peaceful protesters. You just walk down the street in Louisville and tell me they're peaceful protesters. You will be harassed no matter where you're at. I promise you that. They've got a $30,000 bounty on the officers down there. They've got them across the country on the officers. Why do you think all these officers are getting killed? Do you think they're doing it for sport? No, these are nothing but low-life people that will jump on any opportunity to make a fast buck, even if it means killing a peace officer. That's what these people are. Okay, now they talk about the lawsuits, and this is an interesting thing because, you know, they're worried that if there's a lawsuit that Amy Coney Barrett will be on the court, they've tried to get her to recuse herself if she's approved, because she would be making the decision. But the thing is, they've already set up lawyers and stuff. They got legal teams ready to start challenging the election on the right, on the left. They've already done this. They've already said they'll take it to court. So their intention is not to go to court and have a fair hearing. Their intention is to get one more vote that might be against them off of that court by making this judge recuse herself. And there's no call for that. There's no call for that. This doesn't get done in the Supreme Court unless they've handled the case or something along that matter, that they've been involved in that case as a judge or as an attorney. So this does not qualify for her to have to refuse herself. And I support her and her decision not to. Okay, I want to say that. Okay. Now, I've got a guy named Niles Gilman, the Vice President of Programs and Bergen Institute Think Tank, is one of the project co-founders. In his view, the exercise highlighted key flaws in our electoral system, ranging from rickety 18th century design of the presidential election system to the modern plague of the hyperpartisanship. These problems, Gilman says, make our modern system, electoral system, particularly vulnerable to catastrophic collapse in 2020, and some of them could still be addressed before it's too late. Okay, and then we've got a Zach Bergman with the trans. It looks like they're with the Trans Integrity Project simulation. What post-election scenarios concerned you the most? He asked as Gilman. I think you were two broad categories of concern. Broad categories of concern. He says. We have this particularly American presidential system where the election happens on the first Tuesday of November, but the president doesn't actually take part for and get sworn in until January 20th. So there's a 10 to 11 week period where there's one administration coming into power and one leaving. Now I want you to listen to this. The administration says that it's in power during the inauguration could potentially get up to a lot of mischief. Now, can you imagine that? They could actually get up to a lot of mischief. Let's see, what could they get into? Oh, let's see, what about we weaponize the IRS to go against citizens? What about we weaponize the FBI to go against the incoming president? Let's see, what else could they do? Oh, they could use the CIA. They could use the CIA on American ground. Maybe they could wiretap a bunch of people, maybe even you, maybe your phone. Do you ever think about that? Or maybe they could now, since they're forcing release of tax returns for a president, which he does not by law have to do, maybe they could just get your tax returns anytime they want, Congress. Maybe they could scrap through your life, check you out, see what they can do to you. You know, and we put a tap on your phone, and maybe you're talking to Bubba down the road about you'd like to have a 30-30. Well, they say, oh, that guy's getting ready to start a war. So they get Jim Comey or somebody like him, which Jim's not there anymore, and Jim Comey goes and he turns up some paperwork. He signs it. He sends it off to the FISA court. They get warrants. They get some foreign actor to sign a paper saying you're contemplating war, somebody that's a known Russian asset. And the next thing you know, you're facing jail, like Roger Stone, like General Kelly. What do you think about that, folks? This is the way they're talking about doing. They talk about the antidote that when Clinton people were leaving the White House in 2001, the Bush people come in and found the W keys all missing off of the typewriters and computers. Oh, that was funny. That was funny. Of course, that's sort of trivial, they say. The fact is that there's a lot of other things that obviously many orders of magnitude more serious than the outgoing administration could possibly do, such as looting, engaging in sabotage, or various sorts. Oh, wait a minute. Looting? Did we say looting? What about all the stuff the Clintons took that belonged in the White House, that belonged to the people? And they packed it up and took it with them. Do you remember that? Do you remember them having to be to return that stuff? I do. If you don't remember it, you go back, you look on the internet, you go back and you look in the papers, you'll find it. They took off with stuff that belonged to the United States people. So when we're going to start talking about looting, let's talk about it on both sides, folks. Don't be sitting there doing the Alinsky thing, saying we're going to point our weakness, we're going to point our faults at the other guy. Let's don't do that. If you did it, say we did it. But don't accuse the other guy of doing it before he's even left. Who's saying he's leaving? There might be enough people in this country who want to keep him. I don't know. We'll see, won't we? But the whole idea is, you know, here we go, reflecting ourselves upon others and making our shortcoming theirs. Okay, we're going to get into more of that later. Starting a foreign adventure, weighing poison pills for the success. Wow. Gosh almighty. Has that stopped? Has that stopped since this president's been in? We've had members of Congress and former Secretary of State go to Iran and address the leader of Iran when we were having trouble with them. They're not even supposed to be over there. They're not supposed to conduct foreign policy. That's only the job of the president of the United States. They've been to China. They've been to Russia. What is going on, folks? Are we pointing that finger back the wrong direction again? It sounds like it to me. Okay, particularly if they were embittered in the way in which their loss went down. If they're mad over the way they lost. Now, we have watched a four-year temper tantrum in this country because Hillary Clinton lost. And as far as I know, she's never conceded to being beat. She blames it on everybody but Hillary. She blames it on everybody but Hillary. But, you know, maybe Trump would be embittered. Maybe he would. I don't know. But again, don't point your weakness at somebody else. This is what this country's come through, folks. We commit to sin, we blame somebody else for it. That's the way this country works. So if the guy next door murders his wife, you go to jail for it. Think about it. All he's got to do is, oh, well, he was mad at my wife. He went over and murdered my wife. You know, you're a white conservative. You got to be bad. Or, you know, you're a black conservative. You got to be mad. That's the way this country's gone. It doesn't care if you're white or black, if you're conservative, you're racist. If you're liberal, you're above the law. There is no law for you, and you want to abolish the law. So, I mean, when it comes to this, I'm not being partisan. I'm just telling you how the damn thing is coming down. And this is making me sick, okay? We're concerned about administrative transition risk, that the incumbent administration could attempt to do something using executive power, the power of the executive branch, to basically stop the full resolution of a close election. Well, my God. I've got a pen and a phone. I will do what I want. I remember those comments. Lest we forgot, we went through 8 years of a pen and a phone. Now they're scared to death of that pen and that phone. That Twitter message goes on that phone, makes them shake to their knees. What is going on, folks? What is going on? See, all this stuff, it's like the dog bit the tail. And 8 years later, the tail come back and bit the dog. Think about that. It says, imagine the 2000 election scenario, but you have an unbounded president using federal authority that he still controls to shut down the counting of votes in states where he's got a lead on election night and he doesn't want to see the recounts happening. I don't remember one time during the 2016 election that he shut them down. I do know there was voter fraud. I know a lot of votes got kicked out. But that's with every election. Underpinning this analysis is banal, but vital point. Trump is different than past presidents. Well, yeah, he is. He doesn't bow over. He doesn't bow down to kings and leaders from other countries. He doesn't give our country away. he stands up. He says he's proud to be an American. He's proud of America. I've never heard Melania say all this for a damn flag. Have you? What about Michelle? I remember that very well. Okay. Now, I'm not even getting in on Joe tonight. I'm not going to involve Joe in this because, I mean, I'm just going down through here what they're talking about. Obama had Bush, Clinton Jr., and Obama had respect for actual counting of the votes. Yeah, let's count them all. Let's count the ones that were cast fraudulently by people that were dead. Let's count the votes that were cast fraudulently by people that was bussed in, illegals. Let's count the votes of people that voted 3 and 4 times. That's respect. There's no respect for your votes, people. When people are voting 3 and 4 times and dead people's voting and people are being bussed in that aren't even legal to be in the country and given a vote, when they're being allowed to vote in certain states without being legal, there's no respect for your vote. So you better go out and vote. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you to do it the Democratic way. Vote early and vote often. I've heard them say that. So it goes on to say, I would say that ended up pretty close to the worst case scenarios I had worried about in 3 or 4 scenarios. All but one where Biden won big. We ended up with a massive contestation where both sides called out their followers into the street. Clashing protesters, violence, political violence, an actual contestation of the results running down to literally Inauguration Day. So what this is saying is they're trying to encourage people to go out and vote their way, because if they win big, you won't have this violence. Okay? You won't have this violence. You just vote big and vote it our way. So this is kind of a mind control, brainwashing thing. You know, you do it our way and you'll have peace. To me, that's a threat. That's a threat against the Constitution of the United States. It's a threat against your vote. That's a threat against your intelligence. And it's a threat against your livelihood. They go on to talk about the Electoral College, and if it goes to a tie, the new House will be the ones that decides what happens. Now, if the new House decides what happens, if it's the same makeup that we have in the House right now, the Republicans would have a one-vote lead. It'd be 26-24 because each state then only gets one vote. All of its senators, I mean, all of its congressmen would get together. They would decide together which way their vote was going to go for their state. And that would probably come down to whether it was a blue state or a red state, which one had the most people in Congress. And at this point, it would be a 26-24 vote if they all voted along party lines. Now, here's an important part. If you want the Democrats to have a win in that scenario, then you need to get out and vote for a blue house. But if you want the Republicans to be able to win that scenario, you better get out and vote for a red house. Because your vote is never going to count so much down ballot as it will this year. It's not just the president you're voting for. It's the House and the Senate. And the way you vote for the House and the Senate will determine whether we have a Republican or a Democrat president. It will determine, you know, if it gets down to going to the House. This has happened once in history. I believe it was Taft, but don't quote me on that. It has happened once in the history. I think it was back in the 1800s, but it could come to that. The House is already preparing for what-if scenario. You know, that's already been on the news. I don't care how you vote, folks. I don't care. I want you to vote. And I want you to vote not for yourself, but for your country. Because this vote is going to decide whether we have our freedoms, and we continue to be a constitutional republic, or, you know, a democratic republic, or if we become a Marxist society. And if we become a Marxist society, we're going to lose everything we've worked our life for. I've worked 60 years, and I'm not giving my place up. I'm not giving it up to the government taking over all private property like some of them want to do. They'll have to kill me on my place. I will not give up my rights, my God-given rights. I will not give up my firearms. That is not only a constitutional right, but it is a natural right, as Dr. Chris Hannah Hall explained on our show on Monday night. He goes on to say in here, I think there's a very sizable faction of both Democrats and Republicans who believe that the only way they lose between elections is because of some sort of fraud. Well, that don't surprise me. That don't surprise me, because we have seen so much fraudulent things going on. Now we have a Veritas tape come out. I don't know if it's real or not. We'll have to wait and see. The Minneapolis police are checking it out. But in that tape, Ilhan Omar's staff is supposedly giving people anywhere from $200 to $800 when they give them the packet to fill out to order them a mail-in ballot, or maybe it's an absentee ballot. I don't know. They have to fill out a packet and send it in to get that ballot. They give them $200, $400, $600, $800 walking around money. Okay, here's just some walking around money, so you know how. That's cash exchange. You can call it whatever you want. It's just like in the old days back in the South when the Democrats, the Dixiecrats, if you remember them, they passed out whiskey bottles to the drunks, $5 bills to the poor people and black people. They pass out whatever they could to get your vote. And these people are returning these, according to this tape, these people are returning these ballots unmarked so they can fill them out for the candidates they want in the Omar office. So if that's true, I hope they get to the bottom of it. We have seen a lot of corruption in this country on both sides of the aisle, and I'm not happy with none of it. They're afraid that in 2021, if this administration goes on, it's going to fundamentally change the rules. They'll never have a chance to completely be effective again in their party. It's the same thing for the Republicans. They feel that, you know, if the Democrats get in, that it's going to change the rules to the point that that the Republican Party will be no more effective. The Democrats have openly spoke about stacking the courts, adding enough justices so they can put in 15 justices and put them all in liberal justices. That's not what our Constitution calls for. That's not what our court system's for. It's time we stop stacking this favor and that favor. Okay, the party in control of the Senate, if they have the president, they usually get what they want for judges if there's vacancies. It's happened historically between both parties. There's a big brouhaha about it now because the Republicans are in charge and they're putting in judges. But, you know, Obama had a chance to put in a lot of judges. He left 200 seats or better empty that he could appoint judges for, and he failed to do so. That is a shortcoming on his behalf, not upon the behalf of the people that's in charge now that's doing the job and filling seats. Smaller faction on both sides feel it's a matter of life and death for them and theirs. There's a faction on the far right, the kind of people who marched in Charlottesville saying, "You will not replace us." They believe if the Democrats win, they'll impose an order that will get them replaced. When the stakes are that high, people will do really dramatic things. Actually, contesting the electoral results is not even the thing I worry about. This all keeps pointing toward a violent outcome. Now, I'm not the only show host to tell you about this. You can go over and listen to Dan Bongino. He'll tell you there's others out there talking about this as well. The normal answer to the question is something like this, except that participants in the electoral game to accept the rules, accept the outcomes, and avoid inflammatory rhetoric. This is the kind of statement the U.S. Department would issue about an election in a developing country that was likely to be contested. But we can't expect the president to maintain his cool and accept the outcome of the election. The whole reason we're talking about this, we're in abnormal times. Well, I'll tell you what, he might not accept them. You know what I'm saying? He might not accept them, but, I mean, that's kind of the pot calling the kettle black after 2016 and Hillary's little fit. And the impeachment trials and stuff we've been drugged through, we've had to pay for and stuff, that actually netted nothing. And now the investigations into it are pointing back to Hillary again. It looks like Hillary's in some pretty hot water along with Mr. Comey and some other people. They go on to say that everybody should that wants to vote should be able to vote, should be able every vote count. I agree with that if you're a U.S. citizen. But the problem is they're wanting felons to vote. They're wanting illegals to vote. Everybody, does that mean them too? The Democrats, even Democrat principles, they talk about democratic principles, okay, in here. The last time I checked, we were a republic. Democratic republic, but we were a republic. They keep pushing democracy and democratic ways, but this is not a democratic society. This is not a mob rule society. This is not a simple majority society. We have been had these checks and balances for 244 years. They have worked to keep our country strong and to keep it together. And I, for one, am not willing to give that up. Then they go on to say, the second thing we need is for more people to be prepared to take into the streets and nonviolent protests as if that doesn't happen. I want to emphasize nonviolent, they said. Okay, how many times have we heard that these protests in our streets are nonviolent? Turn on CNN, turn on CBS, turn on ABC, turn on NBC, MSNBC, turn on all these news stations and you'll hear about nonviolent protest and the awful police officers that arrest these nonviolent people. These nonviolent people are the ones that have been attacking the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon for so long. These throwing firebombs at it and breaking the windows out and throwing fire inside of it. They're the ones that's been blinding the police officers with lasers. They're the ones that beat officers and killed them. They're the ones that beat officers and injured them. They're the ones that shot and killed officers. They're the ones that beat residents and harmed them. They beat residents and killed them. They've shot residents and killed them. They've shot police officers and killed them. This is not a peaceful protest. They're not calling for a peaceful protest. This is just a cover so they can say, oh, well, we didn't call for violence in the street. No, we didn't do that. That wasn't us. But, buddy, let me tell you something. That's the way these places like Vox works. They whoop up the people. They get them agitated. They get them angry. And then they go out into the streets for what is called peaceful protest. And then they wreak havoc. And this has got to stop. It says, I think if we're going to take the streets, which they may need to do, in order to insist that our democracy be maintained, again, democracy, not our republic, then they need to be prepared to be very disciplined about insisting that it be nonviolent. Well, you know, that's fine. I hear people talk about being nonviolent, but until I see that action, I don't believe it because I've seen too much of the other. I greatly invite anybody that wants to step in the street with me or one of my members when something's going on. I greatly invite you to do so. And if you think it's peaceful, you've got another thing coming, and you'll learn out very, very quickly that it is not, and unless you're one of them, okay? He goes on to say, Zach Beauchamp says, what do you think about the role of one, the National Republican Party elite, and two, the media? It seems like both of these institutions will play vital roles in the event that Trump loses. Okay, well, let me tell you something. It says, for sure, in some sense, Trump doesn't need to win. He just needs to create a narrative that he didn't legitimately lose and then has to make the narrative take hold in the right-wing media with the Republican elites. All right, let me tell you something here. Do you remember the tape that was all over the internet not too long ago? How Pelosi told that you tell a lie and you tell it so much that people start to believe it. The media picks it up and then it becomes the truth. That's what they're accusing here. This is their game again. They're pointing the finger out, but they got three pointing back at them. When you point that finger at somebody, you got three more coming back at you. I'll never forget that. As one of the things one of our teachers told the class one day, he said, when you point a finger at somebody, there's three more pointing back at you. And that's the truth. That's the truth. So I just got to say something about the media. I think the media in some ways has the most important role of all, they say. Well, you know what? The media needs to butt out. The media needs to go back to being news. That's a problem. It's went from being news to media. It went from being something that told it like it was, like we try to do here, to something that spins a narrative, that tells a false story and sells it so that they get ratings, so that they get better sponsors, so that they make more money, and these self-important supposed reporters get to feel good about themselves because everybody just, oh, my heart beats for that one, oh, he is so sweet, or she is such a darling. Well, you know what? When you lie through your teeth, you're ugly no matter what you are. And there's a whole lot of ugly reporters out here in these news stations. You know, they're trying to say in this article that Trump's going to throw out the vote. They're trying to say that, you know, he's going to be faking that there's voter fraud. Well, let me tell you, there's enough voter fraud going around. You ain't got to fake nothing. Anytime that you have voting and you don't have a national ID system where people have to prove who they are to vote, then you're going to have voter fraud. Anytime you deliver 8 or 10 ballots to the same house, to 8 or 10 different people, and only one of them lived there, if any, then you're going to have voter fraud. Who do you think is going to vote them other 9 votes? Either they're going to vote them and send them in for their candidate, or somebody else is going to come along and pick them up and vote all of them for their candidate. So there's no way that there's any integrity in this election this year. There's no way. But all I can say is if you want your party to win, you better vote, because there's going to be enough voter fraud probably on both sides that it'll never be truly known who won this election. It goes on. Says there's going to be a crazy social media firestorm going on this, but my suspicion is the decisive question will be in the event of a Trump loss, how people like the evening lineup at Fox react. Do Sean Hannity and Tucker and Carlson and Laura Ingraham accept the loss, or do they have, or do they go with a crazy conspiracy as they bumbling out of the fever swamps? Signaling out Tucker and Hannity and Laura Ingraham, how interesting. I mean, that's really interesting. What about CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, George Stephanopoulos, Don Lemon, Rachel Maddow, what about these people? What about these people? How about Jim the poster boy Acosta? Huh? What about these people that go out there, they twist and slant the news? I think the news needs to go back to reporting. I think they need to get off their soapbox, go vote their conscience, and then keep their mouth shut, not be trying to spin the political narrative. It's bad enough with the politicians, they're making it worse. It says these people will hold the state of the republic in their hands. Hey, they finally admitted it's a republic. Potentially, the question is, how do they want it to be remembered? Now, the question is, why are they doing this? Why are we letting them do it? See, that's a problem. We're letting the media get by with this. We're letting the politicians get by with this. We can put a stop to it. But we've got to get up. We've got to get out in the street. We've got to run the hood rats out of the street, the thieves and the thugs and the looters and the burners. We've got to run them out of the street. And then we need to take the street and demand change ourselves. And it's about time we do that. There's a legal way to do it. It's called helping out law enforcement. That's what we do. The one scenario, though, that we modeled, which didn't end up in a really terrible situation, was, in fact, this scenario. Here it goes again. Well, Biden won by a very decisive margin, and it was called on election night. Okay, they said that Trump would still try shenanigans in order to try to negotiate a better exit package for himself in this scenario. but there was no actual contestation of the results in the particular case. So again, it's vote our way and you'll have a peaceful life. Vote our way and you'll have milk and honey. And if you buy that, folks, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona. I got a bridge I'll throw in for nothing. You know, it just goes on. And, this Twitter war, man, they get to talking about this Twitter war. That's something kind of got me. I think it ends up what happened is Holly and Tucker Carlson and Tom Cotton look at the situation and say, well, it's true Trump lost, but he was dealt a really bad hand. The COVID thing came along, and we got lucky with that, and he was incontinent and with his tweeting, and all we need to do is basically double down on the same formula and execute a little bit more completely, competently, and a bit more ruthlessly, and a little bit more effectively. So now they want to join the Twitter war. Okay, let them go ahead. Put out all you want, folks. They're doing it tonight. They're putting out they want the president to die and the first lady, the whole family. That's really classy act, people. Okay, is these the kind of people we want running our country? I don't. It said Obama had a theory all along that eventually the fever would break, and that's not proven out over the last, I would say, 26 years. This process began with Newt Gingrich, and it's just gotten more and more intense ever since. So I don't know that necessarily, even with the Biden blowout, the Republicans are going to fundamentally change the approach of politics. You know what they hate about Newt Gingrich? He made Clinton balance the budget. Yeah, he did. If it hadn't been for Newt Gingrich, Clinton would have never left with a balanced budget. Newt Gingrich is the one who held the road on that, held tight, and stuck to it. Okay. Now, I want to get over Fox News a minute. I got a little something I want to say about Fox News again tonight. We're going to talk about Fox News because John Roberts got up at the White House at the press briefing, and he kind of got up in Ms. McEnany's grill a little bit about why she and the president would not denounce white supremacy. Well, I have an answer for you. I've got an answer for you here, and you might not like it, but I'm going to give it to you. You see, this white supremacy thing, it's all part of a counter action here. If you're not a liberal, then you're a white supremacist, even if you're black. Ben Carson's been called a white supremacist. Okay, last time I looked, folks, he was not white. Now, I might be wrong. I want you to turn on your TV tonight and see if old Ben is still black. I don't know. He might have fell in a bucket of paint. But I'm telling you right now, this critical race theory, this is where this is coming from. They have a critical race theory that says if you're white, you are a racist. White is a racist, period. You can't be non-racist and be white. That's the premise of the critical race theory. Now, let me ask you something. Are you white? Are you a racist? You know, do you have black grandchildren? Do you know that you're a racist and you hate your grandchildren? Do you have a black wife or a black husband and you're white? Then you must be a racist. You hate them. Amy Coney Barrett, she adopted two wonderful children from Haiti. They come out of a country of hell. She's got them in a nice home. She's given them an education. She's given them love. And what do? They call her a racist. Yeah. She's given them more than life could have ever offered them in Haiti. But that makes her a racist because she is white. Come on, people. Get over it. Now, I want to tell you something about this deal with John Roberts, this critical white race, this critical race theory. If McEnany and the president would denounce white supremacy in the context that's being given to them, see, it's not being given to them in a fair context. Because with this critical race theory, if you're white, you're a white supremacist, you're a racist. So if they denounce white supremacy under the context it's being presented to them, Then what they're trying to get them to do is denounce the white race. They're trying to get them to denounce the white race. Now, is he against white racists such as the Ku Klux Klan? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, he made both them and Antifa terrorists the other day. He signed the paperwork. They're terrorists now, okay? Does he condone the skinheads and the Nazis? No. Has he been a donor to the Democrat Party for years? Yeah, he was. He was best friends with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton loans. He's passing that money around. But now he's a racist. So, John Roberts, before you try to do something like that, put it in context. Don't play the word games. Fox News has gone to hell, and you're another one of them that's taking it there. As far as the Proud Boys, we've heard a lot about the Proud Boys are racist. They've got a lot of black people in their group. They're a patriot group. If you're a patriot group, you're racist. Okay? They're not out there doing hate speech. They're not out there doing hate speech. I know we've had people out there right with them and heard what they said. Okay? We've had people right beside them. They're not racist. They're not out there spouting racial hatred. They're out there trying to defend people that are being attacked, such as the anti-protesters, the Trump rally people, the conservative people that go out, wave their flags. They're out there protecting this mob from attacking them. They're the ones, like us, that's getting hot motor oil squirted on them and sarin gas mixed with water, and they're getting sprayed in the face with bear spray and bug spray, wasp spray, and mace and everything else to protect people that are innocent. So don't give me this racist crap when it comes to Proud Boys. Don't give it to me. I'm not buying it. When you've been out in the street or you've had your people out in the street with them, then you know better. And anybody, like I said, that's willing to go out in the street with us, you're welcome to come ahead. You'll get you an education real quick on what's going on in this country. Now, I don't buy into all this stuff, folks. I just really don't buy into it. And I'm getting sick and tired of these places like Vox News and Fox News trying to spin narratives, trying to divide our country even greater than they are. CNN, MSNBC, there are some of the worst ones out there, along with the major network channels. Now, I give you the news at night. I tell you what they're saying. I give you the situations, and I let you decide. Yes, I do give a commentary. That's what a commentator does. I give you my point of view. Take my point of view. Think about it if you wish. Or discard it at the beginning. You don't have to listen to me. But at least when you leave this broadcast at night, you know you've been informed about something. Okay? Right now, we know that Fox News, from everything we've come up with over the last few days we've talked to you about it, we know there was a sellout. We know that by watching the debate the other day, we know how the moderator acted. Each one of us can decide upon our own, but I've heard complaints from both sides of the aisle that they didn't like Chris Wallace. They thought he was unfair. Now they've got another guy coming up that's supposed to be doing the debate, and this is the guy off of CNN. I can't remember his name right now. C-SPAN. I can't remember his name right now. But in 2016, this is supposed to be an impartial person that's doing the debate. In 2016, he texted, "Never Trump." And then a little later on, he put out a picture of him and Joe Biden at a party. And he was all glad to be with the vice president. Does this sound like a fair and impartial person? Not to me. So, I mean, you got to stop and think about these things. What's the next moderator person going to be? I think he's supposed to be doing the next two debates. I may be wrong. So does the president get an equal shake in the debates? That's a good question. You know, a lot of people said he didn't get a good shake in the last debate. I have my personal opinion about that as well. But at the same time, why did Fox, like we said, Fox got Paul Ryan in the board as a never-Trumper. They got Donna Brazile in. They got this Emily Harf, or Maria Harf. They've got her in. Now Newt Gingrich is silenced on there. And speaking of silence, that's the last thing I want to talk to you about. We're in a technological war coming up on this election because we have a thing called machine learning fairness. Okay. And what this is it's tied with critical race theory, okay? Machine learning fairness, which gathers together big tech to censor, manipulate, and control, stop election Trump. All right, that's what they're doing. If you notice, Trump's been getting censored. If you're a conservative and you're on Facebook or you're conservative and you're putting things out, your posts don't get out to your friends. Then all of a sudden, 260,000 Patriot people got their posts, their pages removed. Yours one and truly. This all happens. This is just on Facebook. You got Google and you got all these other places that's involved in this. This is techno-totalitarianism through technology. It ties science, technology, and artificial intelligence to control what we can and cannot see. You don't get to see whatever you want to see on Facebook. You get to see what they give you. If you go to a search engine like Google, you don't get to see whatever you want to see. They send you what they want you to see. This is all done by having your information over the years. They know what you buy at the grocery store. They know what kind of hygiene products you use, ladies. They know what kind of toothpaste you buy. What kind of bathroom tissue you use. All those little cards you swipe, every time you do, you're giving them more information on you. Okay, you might save 3 cents here and 10 cents there, but you're giving your life away at the same time. I've been guilty of that. I admit it. I've been guilty of it. But the whole idea is by limiting what you can see and what you can learn from, then you shape your mind. They shape your mind. Okay, and they use this artificial intelligence on how to do this. So what they're doing is, in essence, is they are taking what you can see, they're feeding you what they want you to see, and in essence, they are brainwashing you. They're brainwashing you into a certain way of thought so that you go into compliance. It's a technologically controlled cult they're trying to build out of the United States. This is the root of transhumanism. The reason for gender neutrality, the gender neutral race that they're trying to create, that takes away part of your drive, part of your intelligence. It gets you to the point that you're just a drone. They push for political correctness as part of a pre-programming. You can no longer speak your mind. You've got to speak what you're told to say. You can't call an ace and a spade. You can't do that. You've got to call it a lollipop and a sugar drop, if that's what they tell you to call it. And if you don't, then you can go to jail or you can be chastised or you can be banned from being on Facebook or whatever they want to tell you to do. And let me tell you, folks, there's no change shortage. There's no change shortage. I can go down to the bank and get $100 worth of change, $200, $500 worth of change if I want to. You can too. But you go to Walmart, you go to Kroger's, they say, oh, well, we can't give you any change. You spent a dollar and all you got is a $100 bill. Here's a card and you can spend it at our store only for up to $99, which is your change amount. Think about that, people. They're taking your money, whether it's a nickel or whether it's $99, they're taking your money and they're using that money against you supporting these organizations. A lot of these big box stores are supporting them. Look at Target. Look at Target. You go on Target, all their employees have to wear Black Lives Matter shirts. You go to Starbucks, all their people have to wear Black Lives Matter shirts. Well, I don't go to either one of them because when Starbucks start treating the police and the military like crap, I wouldn't have nothing to do with them no more. And when they started letting men go in the bathroom with little girls at Target, I said never again. And I haven't spent a dime in either one of them since then. And I suggest you do the same. And let's don't forget while we're at it, we're asking for a boycott on Caltech because they're using the Gage story from the guy that tried to shoot Kyle Rittenhouse with the Glock. They're using him as a poor victim to advertise their product and to give him pity. And, you know, we don't need to deal with a company that does that. There's other good gun manufacturers out there. I ask that you boycott Kel-Tec because of that. But there's no chain shortage. This is all part of a way to push toward the chip, okay? So that you have to have the chip to purchase, sell, and buy. It's the mark of the beast upon the weak-minded and the soulless atheists and the educated, ignorant class of people. If you believe in all this and you're going to go for that chip, that's what you are. There is no chain shortage. This is part of Agenda 21 at its finest, and 2030 is on the way, baby. It's on the way. So you better wake up. You better get real. If you don't know what Agenda 2021 is, you don't know what Agenda 2030 is, look up the UN on the internet. Go in there, find the files. It's on their files. It's nothing somebody's made up. It's actually part of the UN record. And many countries have signed on for this. People, thank God, will take care of this problem. A lot of people, oh, well, God come get his forces all over you. He'll just snatch us up and we'll be gone. Well, let me tell you something, people. It's a long time before the rapture. We've got several years left, even if it starts right now. Okay? And I believe it has started because the capital was moved back to Jerusalem. But, folks, if you're waiting for Jesus to come snatch you up, all I can tell you is a bunch of dead people right now that's been killed by these thugs that's out in our street. And they were thinking the same thing. So all I can tell you is wake up. This is not my regular kind of show, but I'm telling you right now, I'm hot, I'm disturbed, I'm upset about this. I'm tired of people pointing at everybody in the white race, calling them racist. I'm tired of everybody going around here trying to fool people, trying to con people, trying to take this technology and shove it up our yin-yangs and trying to make us look like a bunch of dead-gone fools. Now, that computer can be useful, but it's also very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous. These cell phones can be useful, but they're very, very dangerous. And you need to stop and think just how important they are in your life and how important it is to you that you give the government everything you got. Because trouble is coming to the streets. There's going to be a battle come election day. It's going to be in the streets. It's going to be in your town. It's going to be in every town in America. It's coming. You don't believe me? Get on Dan Bongino. Get on some of these other talk show hosts, and you're going to hear the same thing. You're going to hear the same thing. We're all on the same line on this. We all see this. We all know it, and we see it coming. Now, people, I love you. I love the United States. I love every person in this country, even if they're misguided, even if they're racist against me. I still love you because that's what my God tells me to do. It don't mean I got to tolerate your ignorance, though, if you're like that. So what I'm going to tell you, people, it's one thing to be a Christian. It's another to be an American. But to be an American Christian, you've got to believe in your God. You got to stand on your ground, and you got to take care of business in your own country. Don't depend on God to come cure every little problem. This is going to be a big problem, and God is depending on you as well as I am to get out here and do your share. We've got to save this country, folks. The battle's coming to the street come November. They've done declared that they're going to start a civil war. So with that, I want to say that I hope that each one of you stay safe tonight. I hope that you think about what I've said, and I hope that you pray tonight before you go to bed for guidance in what you need to be doing in the coming days. But don't find yourself unarmed, unequipped, or unprovided for. Make sure you got provisions because it's getting ready to get rough and it's getting ready to get hard and rocky. With that, I'm going to say God bless you. Thank you for listening. And God bless America. Till we meet again tomorrow night. Goodbye.